Hey there, folks. I'm Todd Anthony Zeller.
And I'm Spun Counter Guy.
For all you wanderers, vagabonds, sinners, and saints,
welcome home.
Take your seats now, class. The bell has rung.
Yeah!
Good morning, class. I'm your substitute teacher, Mr. Dust. Now, class, these two nice gentlemen have come all the way from their farm in Moreno Valley to be with us today.
Hey there, everyone. Todd Anthony Zeller here. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Orphans of God. We welcome you all back to the continuing saga of our incredible conversation with Christopher Cooper, a.k.a. Super C, Soup the Chemist, and too many cool monikers to remember. If you're just tuning in for the first time, please go back to our first episode, part one of our conversation with Chris Cooper. He has an incredible legacy in Christian hip-hop. Chris has built an enduring legacy of work over the years, going all the way back to the early days of Broken Records and then Brainstorm Artists International. I know he's a huge fan of collaboration. He surrounded himself with good people, and he always believes in forging new ground and keeping it positive, keeping it faith-based, and really lifting up the name of the Lord in his music and his creative endeavors.
During this time, were you able to interact with any so-called secular hip-hop artists? Were they digging what you were doing?
Oh, man, I got mad respect from the mainstream. I never got any negative feedback, even though I was, preaching it up, man. Mm-hmm. Nah, I mean, I remember one of the probably the highlights was KRS-One, who at the time we opened up for him. He was actually bashing Christians and had just threw a group, literally threw the whole group off of a stage, a group called PM Dunn.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. So we opened up for him, and that day he didn't even, the promoter stiffed him. Huh. So as we were, getting ready to go on stage, he was in the in his dressing room. We were passing him. He was coming out, yelling at his brother, telling him, "Man, pack up the stuff. Let's get out of here, man. This dude ain't showing up with our money." So in the midst of that, I was trying to introduce myself. It was weird, but he was still like, "Hey, all right, man, how you doing? But yeah, come on, man, let's get out of here." It was one of those things. So we went on the stage and did our thing. And halfway through our set, I glanced to the side of the stage, and he's out there jumping up and down with us. Huh. And I'm like, whoa, what's going on, right? Uh-huh. So after the performance, he yells to me, "Man, y'all got me hyped. Yo, Kenny, let's hook the stuff up, man. We're just going to rock the concert anyway." And he rocked the thing like he got not only paid, but got a tip. And it was just a trip, yeah. And that's like a highlight of my career, man, because yeah. This dude was, at that time, when this happened, people didn't even want to perform. They didn't even want him on his tour because he was just that good live. Uh-huh. So for me to get that dude so excited that he rocks a free concert came at a perfect time, because I was feeling like my shows and my live performance didn't get respect because the churches and the places I was performing, they didn't understand hip hop like that. Mm-hmm. So I knew I had a good show.
Yeah.
But I started to question myself because I wasn't getting a reaction from the places I was performing. So when he did that, I didn't even care what kind of I didn't care if I showed up and there were five people in the crowd. Right. I mean, I got KRS-One, one of the top dudes, hype enough. It was just insurance to me. I didn't even care after that.
That's interesting that he was so hostile to Christianity, because he later on would go on to make at least one gospel record that I know of, maybe more.
Yeah, he called it Christ-like. He's just one of those guys who he's so wise and retains so much information and wisdom that, I mean, me personally, I think it kind of drives him a little crazy.
Right.
Because he's just that wise, and he says stuff that, you know, just, I can't. I treat him like watermelon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the brother, I get all that out and just spit the seeds.
Sure.
The seeds I don't want out.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's KRS-One these days to me.
Yo, Ben, once again, the checks are still booming. I'm waiting on the groom, man. You're like assuming I'll stop. Nah, Doc, here's another one to drop. Anointed. Always on my knees, honey. And people flocking in like we're giving out money in the joint. Some point, criticized, brother walks right by. Still say hi, because I'm a Christ kind of guy. So why would I be pride? Take control. Oh, no.
You've already alluded to this, but eventually the good time, so to speak, had to come to an end, at least with all the Brainstorm artists and that circle of friends. What was your recollections of that? Like, how did it go down? How did that affect you?
I really don't know how to answer that, because I had already had some funk going on with Ojo and the whole label thing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So when it all started crashing, I was already kind of checked out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember in an independent song I did called Here, I was actually laughing at that. You know, like, you know, because I had this understanding that Joe, I kind of took it out on Joe. And I mean, I regretted the way I put it out there. But I mean, I wasn't going to call him and talk to him about it. I was just mad and frustrated because I didn't feel, I don't want to say he was ripping me off. He wasn't going out of his circle to make what we had going on successful. What I mean by that is if he made $100, his payment was $80. And to make something happen that we needed to happen was $89. And he wasn't going to put that extra in to cover that extra. You dig what I'm saying? He was like, nah, I need my $80. That's it.
Right.
And whatever's left is what we're going to try to help promote this thing. So at that time, and let me clear that up or explain exactly what I'm saying. When we dropped Phase 3, Epic Records picked us up. They were supposed to do all this promotion and all this stuff. And then somewhere in there, they backed out of the whole thing. But they still put us into all the mains. We were in Tower Records, Aaron Records. There was nowhere you can go and not see our record, our CD.
Mm-hmm.
But who's going to just walk into Tower Records and go, oh, well, this is a cool cover, SFC. And then buy it. That's not the way it works. They got to know, oh, hey, I seen those dudes, or oh, I heard those dudes, or let me, and that song I heard was pretty cool. You know what I mean? So I'm on that side. I'm like, look, I'll do the footwork. I need you guys to kick in extra, though.
Mm-hmm.
So there was tours that we could have got on that would have helped us out with mainstream artists. But back then, I don't know if it still goes on today, but back then, it was payola to get on these tours.
Still that way, yeah.
I would come to them and be like, look, man, they ain't having it. We got the albums there. We going to make these sales. Mm-hmm. I need to get in front of people who are going into these places. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to pay the money. You're going to benefit off of this more than me.
Mm-hmm.
Kick in some money to get me out. And they wouldn't do it. It was a risk for them. And like I said, he needed his $80. And he didn't want to go outside of that.
Right.
So it caused animosity with me, and I just wanted to be out of the whole thing. So when I did get out, that's about the time BAI started crashes, and I actually made a song about it and talked about Joe. It was, went real hardcore on him, man.
Since I'm out here tripping, I might as well get with Mr. Taylor. This is me, the supreme individual. You can't
foul with my residuals. And until now, brother didn't really understand. But what you think I've been doing with all these books inside of my hand? Just browsing? Nah, man, I've been trying to comprehend how I can have a gang of fans and rock a gang of shows and still have to live with five roommates inside of a bungalow. But bump that, yo.
At Gene's funeral is where I saw Joe the first time after doing that. And of course, you know, I'm going to have to speak to him. I spoke to him and he was like, you know, man, you really hurt me with that that song you did. I didn't even know you did that until, and this is what crushed me. He said, I didn't even know you did that until my son, who was a big fan of you, came to me and said, Dad, why is it still talking about you like this?
Oh, no.
And I'm like, man, homie, can you just stick the knife a little deeper? And I actually felt bad about doing it. And I apologized to him. And, you know, we cleared the air after that. But that was just a weird time, man.
Sitting in my room, thinking on the past, madman being drawn into this photograph. As I stare in your face, my mind is being plunged into an emotional state, which is now beginning to bother me. And it's showing by my eyes getting watery as I travel back, looking upon how we used to interact. We would clash, but it wouldn't last, cause we was brothers who was taught to look out for one another by our mothers, you know.
Of course, in the Christian music business, you're going to run into all kinds of folks, some that are there sincerely and some that maybe they couldn't make it in the secular world. You hear that story a lot and they think, oh, I can make it in the Christian world. Or in Nashville, they say, oh, I can make it in country because I couldn't make it in rock and roll. And yeah, some people that were just maybe born in the church and they were just doing what they thought was the right thing to do, but they maybe never had any real personal faith. We don't know. There's all kinds of different stories you hear. But inevitably, with all that big soup, you're going to see a bunch of different versions of faith and maybe faux faith, you might call it. Did you see stuff like that when you were in the industry, and did it bug you? Or did you like, ah, well, that's just the world? Or how did you react to some of that stuff that you must have seen?
Oh, I definitely seen it. I was around it. There were people in my crew like that. And the way I dealt with it is kind of like the Bible put it out there, like each man work out his own salvation. You know what I mean? Because there were individuals that were not really rooted. They were into it for the wrong reasons. And as time went on, that's why you just see a lot of people leaving the faith or not really into it. I mean, perfect example is, like I mentioned, let's just take a Kanye. That we see a lot of artists on those levels. All of a sudden, they're Christians. They put out some material, and it's all based on emotions. So once those emotions run out, they start going back to whatever they were into, and sometimes even go get worse. You know what I mean? The same thing within the Christian movement. And I dealt with it like when I came into this thing, I was making Christian songs for myself. So it had nothing to do with the public. I didn't even care if my stuff never came out. This was just my art, what I enjoyed. I wanted to edify myself by making this music, and it just took on another thing. But saying that to say, I was already rooted. You know what I'm saying? That I only did that as an extension of my belief that poured out of me because I put everything God in me. So God just came out and my lyrics came out. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So when you listen to one of my songs, you're hearing me regurgitate on everything that I've eaten, taken in. So that's what I've noticed when I was out there, and even today, where a lot of people are denouncing where they were at, usually they were never really rooted. That's the best way I could really describe it. And then you have some of the people who are they're too wise in their own mind for Christianity. it's got to be, I think everything's got to be proven. It's got to be, I can't tell you why a cow eats green grass. It's just, it's unexplainable. Some things you just can't explain. Mm-hmm. And once you try to explain it, that's where you go crazy. And mm-hmm. I have to fight that on a daily basis because we're bombarded with information, thoughts, beliefs. Every time you turn on or you log into the internet or the World Wide Web, you're bombarded with all this crazy information. And it's even worse now because you have to, if you're leaning towards believing a certain way or a certain thing, there's something out there to feed that. If you think God is lettuce, I bet you could pull it up on the internet that someone is teaching that God is lettuce. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, you know, if you're not rooted and you don't understand, you're going to, and the Bible talks about it, you're just going to sway. And I mean, Nebuchadnezzar was so wise that they say that if you read it in the Bible, it was talking about him being, he was trying to build a tower to heaven. You know what I mean? And then after him not completing that, but it said God had to literally intervene with some things because this dude was just that powerful. But if you read his end story, they found him in a manger eating. He was eating grass and going crazy. The wisdom he thought he had actually drove him crazy.
So smart he was stupid. That's a phrase you hear a lot.
Jazz, funk, salsa, soul, hip hop, reggae, rhythm and blues, all kind of styles people can use, but abuse when done by a negative one with a nasty tongue, swearing it's reality or that he's just being funny. Neither one is more money, more money. Not me, honey. I'm free from the nigga, growing like a tree. Planted by a river, like dominoes, because I deliver. HOLY HIP HOP on this MIKE, most definitely. It's a universal thing, and SFC's a universal.
Tell us about your book that you wrote fairly recently. You know, there's this renewed interest in, you know, kind of the past of Christian music and Christian alternative and Christian hip hop. You know, holy hip hop films are being made. You know, tell us about that book. Share your story there and your inspiration.
Yeah, that book came about from a dude named Joey the Jerk from LA Symphony.
Is that what his mother named him?
His name is Sapong Buatin. He's African, actually. But so it's probably easier for you to say Joey. But he was going to film school. And I wrote a script. And I had been toying with the idea of a book because I had this little treasure chest of everything I ever done, at least one copy of everything that I set aside for my son to pass it on to him, you know, once, whatever, I leave this earth, let's just say. Because he always had, and the reason I even started keeping that treasure chest is because he always had, he was like 5-4 years old when I was doing all this stuff. So I would bring him with me, but he'd be sitting on people's lap and, you know, he didn't know what was going on. So as time went on, I mean, he's on my Dust album. That's him on the flip side, wearing my shoes and my chain. So I always had him involved with what I was doing. To make a long story short, he kept hitting me up with questions like, "Hey, Dad, this dude heard your music. He's in my class. Hey, Dad, you know, hey, Dad, his dad. Is he?" And so it was just always these questions. And so I started toying with the thought of writing a book. Because I'm like, man, I got this treasure chest. I should just write a book. And I was toying with it. So out of the blue, when I called Joey the Jerk to tell him about my script, he didn't even respond to the script. He just said, "Man, you need to write a book." And I said, "Well, what's that got to do with my script, homie? I'm calling you about my script." He said, "No, I know what you're calling me about." He says, "But you need to write a book." And he hung up. This is why I called him a jerk, though. But and I went, did this dude just hang up on me, man? So I called him back, like, dude, did we get Knesset? And he said, nah, I hung up on you, man, because I want you to take me serious. He says, I'm cool with reading your script, but I really don't want to read your script. I think you should write a book.
Dang.
And I just, that's how he came at me. And when he said that, I was like, man, I don't even know how to write a book. I remember sitting in front of the computer for like 3 days, and I had probably 20 lines in 3 days. And I'm like, dude, I can't write this. This ain't me. I knew a guy that had wrote a book, and they were having this big conference in Pomona this day. So I said, you know what? Let me go talk to this dude and see how I even go about this. I told him what was going on, and he said, that's your problem. You don't know how to write a book. Why are you trying to write a book like you know how to write a book? I said, what do you mean? He said, just write. Whatever's in your mind, write. That's what editors are for. Just write. He said, no. You don't even have to respond to that. Don't say how to write. Just write. And next thing you know, things are just write. Whatever you want to talk about, just write. And I went back home and did that. And next thing I know, I had 400 pages. And we only put 285 in the book. So that's how it came to be, brother.
Beautiful.
But anyways, man, I walked inside. All of the homeboys get high fives. Sat down and the works was grooving. And the spirit was definitely moving. And the word came skin and make right. Some people even gave their lives tonight. So don't tell me this ain't the place to be. Yo, kick it in the chorus on me.
As Christians, we're expected to grow somewhat, hopefully, over time. And you always hear the analogy of people when they're kind of baby Christians, they may do or say things in maybe ignorance or naivete early on. And then later on, they're like, ah, man, I shouldn't have said that. Or I think a little differently now. The trouble with people who record, whether it would be, you know, musical artist or being on social media or making podcasts, sometimes you have a record of something you said that later on, like, that's not what I shouldn't have said that. Now I know better. Do you ever look back at all the things that you've said over that time, whether it's in a song or whatever, and think like, okay, I think a little bit differently now, or maybe I could say it better now? Or is there some stuff that you're just like flat out embarrassed? Because I've heard some artists say that they distance themselves from certain tracks they've done.
Yes.
Okay.
Because back then, we were on this, I'm going to kill the devil, I'm going to kill you.
Now that's good, watch him burn the devil like wood. Eat him like cake, crush him like a grape. Case him like an ape, smash him like an ant. Lick him and stick him on the box like a stamp. Ship him far away because he's nothing but a jerk.
And when I listen to it now, it's just like, man, that's kind of corny, man. I guess that was entertaining, but it's just, I kind of wish I wouldn't have did it so much. It was just funny, man. Yeah. So
it's youthfulness, right?
It's youthful, yeah. On a theological point and theories and all that, I kept it kind of simple. I never really went to a point where I would make a absolute truth and then come back to it and be like, man, I was so whack off. I tried to stay away from that. The way I would put it out there is I would challenge you to study what I'm saying and come up with your own thing. That's the way I would always write, like, oh, I'm going to put these scriptures out here and then let you make your own opinion on what you feel about it. That's the way I dealt with it. I never was like, yeah, this is my absolute truth, because who has absolute truth? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But what I did say to combat that is, you can't have the truth unless you have a lie. If you don't have a lie, how can you have the truth? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you have the truth, there's going to be a lie. if that makes sense.
Success is not in the natural, but success is in the spiritual. You can't comprehend inner man changing. Or should I say locked in a San Quentin? Every time you set free, it comes right back. Like the men on the crack. But it's not the cubicle with crack. May I say, there's no force behind it. When exposed, you never minds it. Blind for seeing, but not really seeing. Because there's thousands.
Obviously, with social media, you're able to kind of keep tabs on how everybody else is doing from that time period. And but is there still, like, do you still, like, get on the phone with some of those folks from that time period? Or is there ever, like, a yearly barbecue where everybody comes together and talks about the good old days? Is there anything like that?
Sadly, brother, that's something I wish for. Mm-hmm. But no. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like every year all of us even get more and farther apart. But yes, I reach out, mm-hmm. but it gets to a point where cats are actually coming at you like, why are you reaching out to me again?
Really?
So it's like, okay, whatever. It's almost like they adapted or adopted the same spirit that today's holy hip hop has. It's like, nobody's really looking out for each other. Mm-hmm. It's just me. If you're not in my clique, I'm not posting your stuff. I'm not liking your stuff. I'm looking. I'm allowing you to mentor me in private. But I'm not going to support you.
Dang.
I'm not going to repost your stuff. I'm not. So, and it seems like us from that era have developed that state of mind. But, you know, I'm not going to say it's on purpose. There's a lot of things that have taken place. We're older now. We got families. You know, fools is trying to pay bills. You know what I'm saying? Right. So there's a lot of stuff going on. But there should be us coming together. And only the closest I got to that was at the last Flavor Fest that I attended. It was a bunch of cats from my past. It was like a reunion there. They all came to see me get out, and it was just cool.
You mentioned these current hip hop guys. I don't pay a great deal of attention because the music has changed and I'm not as into the music, but I know you had like the people like Lecrae and there's a bunch of others. But do you ever find out, like, through the grapevine that some of those guys listen to you and other artists from your time period?
Yeah, I do. One guy I actually really look up to and enjoy his spirit and what he's put in his material and everything is a dude by the name of Bizzle.
So many times in my life I needed guidance. I tried, I couldn't find it. No lie, why would I hide it? Ooh, I can't be silent. He's on his way now. Consider me a siren. He's arriving any day now. All the time, God is good all the time. All the time. Red and wine, I got Jesus on my mind. On my mind. Gotta grind with this little light of mine.
He's out of Houston, I think it is. And real lyrical, really on point. His music is good, everything. And he, out of all the new era of holy hip hop, Christian hip hop, he's one of the dudes that sits at the top, right? Either right there or right under the Lecrae. If you're judging it on popularity,
right,
and all that stuff, he's the only one that's ever really gave me. It wasn't a stamp of approval or big support, but it was it's support.
Oh, cool.
He's the only one that has allowed me to enter that new movement, mm-hmm. kind of through him. So I haven't connected with any of the rest of them. It's funny because I didn't even know who any of these guys were until I started writing the book. I had to reinvent myself and get reintroduced to the whole movement because I had totally left the whole movie. I didn't even know anything about what's going on. The last group I had heard about was the Cross Movement. Before that, when I wrote that, started writing that book, I was like, Lecrae, who are these guys? You know what I mean? And then I saw how they were making a living. I'm like, man, these dudes are selling units like crazy. They're making a living. Because in my times, DC Talk was the only cast making a real living. There's a lot of these dudes are doing the same type of numbers now. So it was refreshing. But then when I saw how cliquish it was hurtful.
That's sad. You see it in the secular world, too. Sometimes I'm surprised that a secular artist that will talk about, you know, growing up listening to the, you know, the Funky 4+1 or Grandmaster Flash, how come they don't include them in their new material? Like, hey, you have the platform now. You can, you know, dig those guys out of retirement. It's very rare that it ever does. They'll name check them, but that's about it.
I mean, a big one would be Big Daddy Kane and Jay-Z. Big Daddy Kane used to allow Jay-Z to come out in between his wardrobe changes and do songs and stuff. But I've never once seen Big Daddy Kane on Jay-Z's bill. So,
man,
I'm not saying he secretly don't do nothing for him.
Yeah.
But that's one of the, well, he's like the first billionaire rapper.
Stiff like a mannequin, didn't want to talk salvation. I believe, now let's change the conversation. It was like that, it was like that. My walk was whack, but I was determined to get it on track. Started searching the scriptures, found some evidence. When I got saved, Holy Ghost the president. But it was up to me to make a president. I said cool, there's something I'ma do. Went to church, and my pastor presented it. I got up, and the demons resented it. Punks tried to hold me back, but they're liars.
I want to ask about some recent tracks you've done, and they're up on your Bandcamp. You can find Chris's music these days under Soup the Chemist. So there's a few that I just be curious to know, like how they came about, like the building of the tracks and also the lyrics and all that. So the first one off the top of my head would be How About Some.
Understand something was true, different perceptions, evil intentions created a point of view. So the truth in us, hard to trust, it's mostly the solar flow. Cause cats don't want to discover, only push what they know. Debating's like planting seeds on stones, they'll never grow. But I stay hopeful, it helps me win. Never judgmental, cause I got scars from sin. Too many I could never conceal, I'm an open case with the face. I believe that's got
the news, man. Life, you know, everything is just we're surrounded by negativity, and people just don't know how to respect each other, even when it comes to opinions. We all don't like Chinese food, we all don't like pork and chicken, you know what I mean? Everybody, but does that make the person that eats that wrong? Or we fight over anything, and it's a worldwide thing. It ain't just United States. And I wrote about it on my first album. I said, if we all had the same skin color and different color eyes, we'd fight over that.
Right.
So it's a part of we are, I guess, man. And that's what brought about that song. Just how about some love? You know what I mean? How about some unity? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, reaching.
This is the purpose for flexing. Since you're artsy, we have a good connection. Got your attention, now working on your interest. With a vibe so dope, it's ridiculous. There is no way that you can get tired of hearing Chris. I take risks just like a funambulist. Whenever given the opportunity to run it down, I consist of both commercial and underground. Check my sound.
That was on the Irgasmic Arrangement album. That was with Pigeon John. I just wanted to, in that song, I was talking about creativity. Keep reaching. Reaching for creativity. Don't ever say, okay, cats are rhyming or putting out music like this. Let me do that. But yo, I would really love to do this. Well, then reach. Keep reaching. Keep developing your style, your flow. That's what that song meant.
But still dreaming?
Instead of speaking all my dreams out loud, I write them down with a pen and meditate upon them until the manifestation begins. That's the best way to get some wins, because individuals will act like they got your back like a spawn, but be praying on your downfall the whole time. Yeah, y'all keep dreaming on that while I live tripping off the fact that I still got friends whose past names in my contacts like they coming back. I guess that's the way I stay attached to your memory.
That was a song. It was a weird time in my life. I had just had a breakup with someone who was I'd only dated her for 3 years, but it was just the way it ended was just stupid, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And to the point where it could have got extremely violent because, you know, she involved someone else that I was just like, well, where's all this coming from? You know what I mean? And then on the other hand, I had just lost my partner in SFC, Quincy Parks, better known as QP. He had just passed away. Mm-hmm. So when I wrote this song, you know, it was based around, it was loosely based around those things, because out of all that, I was still holding on to peace and still dreaming of this amazing life. And that's what that song was based on. Like, no matter what is happening around me and all that, I'm still dreaming. And I love dreaming. It's amazing.
Last one, Sean.
To be loose, never follow rules. Choose patterns that complement the groove perfectly. That's how the work should be. But no longer is that a part of this industry. I used to sit around wasting all my energy, tripping off this game. We're good as lame, but no more stress. Just stay in my lane. Continue to be strange, dedicated to the movement, constant improvement.
Now that one's kind of on the ends of the song, the first song we talked about. I was trying to encourage people to keep shining. You know what I mean? And the chorus I changed the chorus up for that song because when I went to South Africa, I liked the whole Afrobeat, soulful house type of vibe. And it's real big over there. So as like the song we just talked, I started reaching and I was like, man, it would be cool for this dude in South Africa to do the chorus in his tongue. Mm-hmm. And me rap about shining. And it, but because, and this dude, they call them townships over there.
Right.
This guy was the happiest dude ever and lived in the most third world setting I had ever seen besides out Jamaica. You know what I mean? It was just crazy that they could find this creativity and peace and love in this situation. So it was perfect. But that's what that song was about. Keep shining. Life is love. To live in it is light in the dark. Keep shining. Thank so you. Life is love. To live in it is light in the dark. So keep shining. That was the whole, and he translated that into his tongue.
Capturing no searching for good music.
Chris, you're a pioneer. Man, we're honored to have you be a part of this podcast episode, Orphans of God. Appreciate your heart. Appreciate you sharing, you know, from deep. And, you know, really love that about you and your music. What kind of encouragement can you offer today's artists, today's fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Give us a word.
That's a good one, man. I would encourage you to study. Studying will cause you to understand. And with understanding comes peace of mind. With peace of mind comes health. So that's why I say that. And that's my big encouragement, because it seems like we're in a, especially with this whole AI thing and what is it? Something chat. What do they call it?
AI chat. Something like that. Yeah.
It's just taking people that much farther away from really studying and understanding. The internet has already crippled people from really understanding, because I don't believe people seek to understand. They seek to support, and that it's a big difference, because what you're trying to support could already be whacking off. You know what I'm saying? Study, understand. It'll help you in all, whatever you come away from, that's on you. But at least you know why, and this is what I want to do. I think it will just make you and us, when I say us surrounded by these individuals who think like this, just better. All of us will be better. You know what I mean? Because if I stay, Todd would make, you know, instead of just hearing Todd and jumping on the defense, if I study now, I understand we can relate and move together, right?
Yeah, find that common ground. I love it, man.
Yeah, that's my, that's what I would say to people. Study, man.
Wondering if you're freer than me. One thing for sure, though, death will come to be. But we out here planning for everything else vigorously. Why, I ask myself first while writing this verse. The body is the earth, the soul goes beyond the universe. So I guess.
Once again, thank you from Spun Counter Guy and myself to Soup the Chemist, Christopher J. Cooper, always informative, entertaining, and full of positive vibes, for being our first and very engaging guest. If you'd like to dive more deeply into the life and music of Soup the Chemist, please check out Through My Windows, The History Behind Holy Hip Hop. He has a Kindle edition on Amazon, as well as book form. And if you'd like to further your knowledge of his music, he has a wide assortment of originals. Just look him up on Bandcamp under Soup the Chemist.
The opening song is Orphans of God by Mark Hurd. Thanks to Dan Russell and Fingerprint Records.
The secret of flames. Thank you.